Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
O Lord our God, often we view this Lenten season as a time of willing sacrifice, where we choose to set some element of our life aside so that we may more personally connect with the sacrifice of Jesus and the way of the cross. We choose to give up internet or chocolate or sleeping in, all to know you better, all to share in your sufferings. Yet all the sacrifices we choose are so very small next to what sacrifices you, our God, have placed in our path. The loss of dreams, ambitions, strengths, accomplishments, security, and loved ones. These are sacrifices we would not have chosen. These sacrifices leave us vulnerable before you, crying out, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me," and requiring those familiar, relinquishing words of Jesus, "That not my will, but yours be done." In this light, Easter week becomes an invitation to bring you our sufferings while we meditate on yours, and to remember that we are not alone. You have walked this road before us, and you walk it with us now. During Holy Week, we remember your sufferings, Jesus, the betrayal by your colleague Judas, the failure of your government in Pilate, the rejection of you by God's people, your people, the breaking of your young man's body, the denial of community by your friend, Peter. Surely you saw the bleakness of this life, felt the raging temptation to abandon your calling, and that you prayed for a way out, but were not given one. So we are not alone when we cry out in confusion. We are not alone as we try to remember who we are and what we believe in. We are not alone as we stand naked in our circumstances, with nothing to hope for except the dawn of that third day, your coming redemption, your faithful love. In life and in death, O Lord, abide with us.